KPMG. Other Mandarin Monitoring Group. We welcome you to this meeting. Appreciate that you made the time to come here with us. We are this morning receiving the briefing by the Department of Tourism on the strategic plan, the annual performance plan, and also the budget, the fiscal budget for that, for the financial year 2015-2016, but also for the medium-term strategic expenditure framework. The delegation is led by the DG, Mr. Victor Starkin, and he has with him the EDG for domestic tourism that we've all met before, Ms. Rongwe Rampele, and with that also the DG for international tourism that we've also met before, Anime Milan, and they also have the DG for policy and knowledge systems, Shamila Chakir, and the Chief Director of Research, Information and Knowledge Management, Nontubela Silwane, the Chief Financial Officer. I saw at the Jazz Festival, and he indicated then to me already that the budget is okay, we don't need to worry. Mr. Akerman cannot be with us, we have an apology from him. But we have a colleague, Mr. Farhat Raja, who is responsible for budget management. So we can interrogate the biggest level very seriously. And then we have the one person from Hollywood, who is the acting chief operating officer in the office of the chief director of government support, Ms. Nomzamo Bengu. We have the support staff as well from the National Department of Tourism, and they normally don't get introduced because we see them all the time. Honourable members, we also have six apologies for today. Six. Let me start with those that I have not received here. I assume that you have heard an apology there. Honourable Faber or Honourable Mokhena? Is it good? No. Okay, then we don't receive it, it's not written. We don't send it to you. Okay, the written apologies that we do have here is from the Honourable Bauda and the Honourable Fana. We also have written apologies from Honourable Timuya, was on his way yesterday, and he collapsed at the airport in Ohar, and then went back home. I don't know how he managed to get back home to Malangat. But we do have an apology here, signed by his secretary. We also have an apology from Honourable Ntebe, who is doing work for Parliament abroad. And we have the apology from Honourable Rita. That done, the agenda for today is we will receive the briefing from the department. After your briefing, DG, you'll allow us some time to raise questions, make comments on the briefing, and then thereafter, Quebec has not seen it before us. Our final item will be the adoption of the minutes of the last meeting. Martins, are you making copies? Okay. I've looked at the minutes already, so that's fine from my side. Can we then give to DG and say that what we are looking at is a big stack of documents. We are hoping to conclude our business by 12:15, so it's safe to say that we give you no time until 11 o'clock. Let's give you an hour. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. We will try to provide as much as possible within the time frame, but we'll also be mindful of the time constraints that, you're working within. Just by way of introduction, the DDGs will actually go through the presentation and the respective details and so on. The reason why you've got such a thick pack, if I could put it that way, is because you've got a main presentation that covers the strategy, you've got additional information that covers the ADD for the coming year, then you've got some more details about some of the projects. So there are annexes, but even at your leisure, they would assist in terms of actually comprehending this, even in preparation for the budget vote and so on and so forth. One share is just by way of introduction, you do know that we had two vacancies at DG level. One of them was because of me leaving that book, which now has been occupied by Shaila Chetia. So she's fresh from, this is her second day. She started 1st of February. And of course, we still have the Hollywood or Bollywood or Nollywood situation. I don't know, but we still have Nomzamo acting. We're still in the process of recruitment for the other position, which is Chief Operating Officer. There are some significant changes in terms of the strategy. We went through a very intense process last year of self-reflection, which we wanted to ask ourselves some very difficult questions, and we did ask ourselves those questions. In the main, what we're saying is, in line with our mandate, what kind of tourism do we want to see in this country? So there can be tourism, investors can invest and still be able to actually generate money and so on. But what is the kind of tourism that we want to see in the country? So that's embraced largely within our vision of inclusive tourism economy. And we will go through those in detail. But the changes that we then brought in allowed us to be very sharply focused. There was a need for us to actually be very clear about the distinction of what we do and what South African tourism does as an entity that is fully related in terms of looking at issues of marketing and so on and so forth. So there are specific areas that we've identified, and those specific areas you would find them on slide 7. The broad range of those particular issues. So upfront we're talking about sector transformation. There's a lot of things that we'll talk to in terms of what we're going to do around that. With the new and emerging area, which is about marine and coastal tourism. We want to strengthen this research and knowledge management area, but there's a lot of work that we will then allude to in terms of what is going to happen. The skills development focus, we think this is something that we should proceed with, but we have updated. So there's many areas that we would actually be focusing on in terms of actually trying to produce the necessary skills for the sector. Then the issues of destination development. This is either the enhancement of the destination itself or issues of development of new products or making sure that our attractions are in good state, good shape, good conditions, and so on and so forth. So there's quite a lot of things that are actually going to be talked about within that particular space as well. Then the regulatory related work, which amongst others would include, most importantly for Parliament, the fact that we will be going through a law reform process. And we'll be reviewing the Tourism Act, and I think that is something that would be of much great interest to yourself as the lawmaker. Then we have an area of responsible tourism. So we'll definitely go through all these things and allude to what exactly then is going to be done in each of these environments. We are also driven largely in all these areas that we're talking about by the broader objectives. So we are saying, in the main, all these things as we do them must really contribute to job creation. They must contribute to reduction of inequality, and along those lines. So we are mindful that whatever we actually try to do should actually have some contribution in some regard. The last thing that I would also like to indicate is that the resources also would then be skewed towards some of these areas. But overall, when you go through the budget and so on, you would be able to see that in the main, three programs really drive our budget. And that is travel and tourism, which takes 51% of the entire provision. And then we've got the SRI, which is just under 400 million or so. So it's in how we implement those to be able to then fulfill the same things that we are actually talking about here, whether it is destination development, whether it is enterprise development and so on. And of course the TIT, which is the other component which actually has some sizable budget. One of the things that you would note, which is important for me to flag before we even go into the details of the presentation, is that when it comes to enterprise development, there's now a fresh approach. And this fresh approach, you would see that it's no longer necessarily about tourism enterprise partnership, which was a partnership with our partnership with DEP, which lasted for a very, very, very long time. But on reflection, we were mindful that it's a space that must be open. It's a space that must be fully competitive. Everybody else must be able to come and show us what they're able to do. And we must be able to have a comparative type of analysis before we are actually just going to take this one and go on with this one. Lastly, motivated by the fact that TV is not an entity of government. So we couldn't just necessarily just go on with one entity, and other people would then ask questions. If I've got a good idea, where do I go? So we've gone for some sort of a panel of suppliers where we went through a tender that would actually allow for pre-qualification, and those people then were able to source from that group of different panels. So it may be that this one is much better in incubation, but that one is probably much better in business advisory. So they will come in and when areas that they really have the expertise and so on. So there's a lot of innovation that we brought in. There's a lot of fresh approaches in most of the other things. Even when you look at the international program, you would see that some of the things that we used to do before have to be felt that they really are more or best dealt with within South African tourism. That is exactly that what we've done. So we would actually then focus on things that matter most to us, issues of investment promotion, those kind of relations management, bilateral, multilateral, stuff like that. So currently we should be in a position to give comfort that we do have sound plans in place, and we do have the resource or capacity to introduce these plans. And whatever progression you would then make, ultimately it definitely would be in good use and then for the purposes of the strategic imperatives of the country. Thank you. So Ms. Bengo is going to take us through the overview together with Program 1, and then we should pass on the button and until we get to Fahad, who's going to deal with the finances. And ultimately, when we get to that, then we'll be in a position to engage on the matter.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. GD, to an extent, has some of the matters we're going to cover here. I will focus on where are the areas of amendment in terms of the strategy review that we did last year. You would have noted that 3 years ago we revised our vision, and in this review we have maintained the vision to lead sustainable tourism development for inclusive economic growth in South Africa in line with our mandate that defining the type of tourism that we want to grow in, sustainable and inclusive in its contribution to the economy. The mission is also largely maintained, the weather, small editorial issues, language editing in how we want to drive towards this vision through good corporate corporate governance, strategic partnerships in the space of tourism. This becomes like crucial innovation and knowledge management, as well as effective communication. We've maintained our values as well, and we're still focusing on performance values, where we're doing our our work we want to be emailed to, and become customer focused. Looking internally at us within the organization, we want to be an empowering organization with the integrity and recognize our own people within the organization, and that our systems and processes are fair and supportive towards the growth of our staff members. We have been guided by this legislative mandate, the Tourism Act, the National Development Plan, and the country's 2030 vision. We are revising the National Tourism Sector Strategy, but the current version as it stands still becomes our mission. The update of 96 still guides our work. Didi has mentioned these focus areas that we have identified in our view of the strategy. And I would say, Honorable Chair, that this then is where real shift in focus emerge from, and the DG's presentation will demonstrate how we are doing things differently in order to focus on these 8 areas. We have mentioned that we are going to be reviewing the National Forum of Sector Strategy, and we are going to be doing work on implementation of the current tourism sector itself with regards to developing the relevant regulations as required by the Act, and we are also be doing the review that DG has referred to on the Tourism Act. Chair, we have maintained our goal of achieving good corporate governance. This speaks to our responsibilities in the public service department, holders of public funds, and we need to do our work in a manner that is effective, efficient, and economical. And in the manner that we relate steadily, especially in this tourism space, we relate with relevant partners, whether it's at government level or with our private sector partners, we need to do so in a good governance, driven by good governance. Our 9,000 mandates goals really relate to this inclusivity of the growth that we are driving. We want to see that the contribution in terms of jobs and GDP grows, but grows in a manner that brings everyone and provides the imperative of economic empowerment for all our people as a national imperative. Check the various branches are going to present relevant programs under each of these strategic objectives. The first one, again, aligned to our responsibilities in raising public funds and public resources, is economic efficiency and effectiveness of use of departmental resources, both financial systems and people. We have a large responsibility to ensure that from our supporting, from the supporting sector, as well as from the public, understanding that there is a lot of opportunity for economic development provided by the tourism sector. We must therefore grow this understanding of what the tourism sector offers this economy, and must raise awareness both for the public and our partners, how their work influences what we do, and that will be driven under this strategic objective. We are responsible as a national department for the enabling legislative and regulatory environment for tourism growth. In using the public resources that are in our hands, we need to ensure that we use them in a manner that contributes to economic transformation in South Africa generally, but with regards to the fifth objective, a particular transformation in the tourism sector is our line function responsibility. We will focus on tourism enterprise development as the expansion of the tourism space. We will focus on tourism capacity building programs and strategic objectives number 7. Number 8 will deal with enhancing and diversifying the tourism offering. And we will also deal with our knowledge services objectives by providing information to inform policy planning and decision making. We have a coordination responsibility to reduce barriers to tourism growth from within the sector and from other portfolios that impact on how tourism works. And also we have the regional tourism integration responsibilities, and we have the responsibility to create employment opportunities by implementing tourism projects, which is right mainly under our EPWP program called the Social Responsibility Initiative. In developing the strategy, Chair, we have to focus on what strategic risks opposed to our objectives. What could possibly go wrong? Not what is wrong, rather what could possibly go wrong that would hinder us from achieving our objectives? And we have identified that if the sector doesn't transform, we will not be able to meet our goal of inclusive growth. And we have mitigating actions that we have identified under to mitigate that risk. We have also identified that we need to, should we not adequately plan and implement infrastructure projects, our objective of diversifying the product base will not be met, and we have identified mitigating factors around it as well. Another risk we have identified is if our partners and the public doesn't have this information about the various opportunities of tourism, first of all, they may not be able to access those benefits, but also in taking their relevant actions in the various sector, they may hinder the progress we are trying to achieve, and we have the mitigated factors indicated there. We are also concerned that should we not manage the stakeholder engagement and taking that, it may hinder our moving towards our objectives and leveraging intergovernmental relations and coordination. And so if we don't do that properly, our objectives will not be met. And finally, the sixth strategic risk relates to if we do not manage the chain, if we don't have a proper change management process with this new strategy, which requires us to work differently. If we don't have a proper change management strategy in this regard, we will not be able to change the organization in a manner that allows us to implement the change strategy. Chair, that in general is our overview of the strategy. With Chair, now in my Hollywood portion, I will deal with the problem programs. In terms of the revised strategy, Chair, there isn't much, you will know that there isn't much difference because program one still remains responsible for making the organization function, very basically. So we are still focusing on, we're still focusing on performance management and risk management. So we focus on planning, monitoring, and managing the risk so that we move towards our goals. So that under that first indicator we're dealing with planning, monitoring, and managing. Within the process and managing compliance in that space. And we also have a responsibility to assist minister in the oversight of the public entity, our one public entity, South African Tourism. That work is made currently under program one, coordinated with other contributing units. We must ensure that the organization is appropriately resourced. I am now on slide 17, right at the bottom. We must ensure that the organization is adequately resourced in terms of the number of people required to deliver on the work that we have by managing the vacancy rate. We are also committed to the employment equity as a public service department, meeting the targets required in terms of the employment equity as related to how many women we employ, people with disability, and the black representation. And the target here are set aligned largely to what the requirements are for public service departments. We must also, in terms of facilitating the department, ensure that we have a proper skills development effort for our own staff, which is what they cover in the workplace skills plan, identifying what skills are required and what training interventions are required therefore to train our staff members. On slide 19. We must manage the labor relations space to ensure that the relations are healthy between labor and employer. We are also responsible for ensuring that there is a proper ICT strategy, information communication technology strategy, to ensure that as far as possible, there are ICT enablements that assist us to deliver our services better. That work is all covered under the ICT strategy. We have financial management responsibilities. We are running with managing public resources. We have to do so within the prescripts, and we have to do so within the principles of economy, efficiency, and effectiveness. And that is the work that we are doing under that indicator number 8. We are responsible as well. The DG has a system within the department to ensure that which have a control environment that assists us to manage our resources appropriately, but also that provides assurance to our various stakeholders, sector for management, the minister, the public, parliament, to ensure that there is assurance that in the manner of doing things, we have a control environment that works, our policies guide how we run with the government, and particularly on the issue of compliance as well. We, in the public, we are the intergovernmental relations system at national government through cabinet and the foresight system. We, program one, is responsible for ensuring that our participation there is effective, which becomes very crucial for sector like tourism, to ensure that our partners in the national government, the public service space, are kept abreast and are supporters of our mandates and our agenda as tourism. And also, so we participate there to influence how they do their work in support of tourism and also to gather support for our own programs. I think this may be the last one. No, it's not. And we have that responsibility to communicate, raise awareness about tourism, raise awareness about our program, ensure that if people are aware, they are able to access any opportunities provided by our program under the communication strategy. From the legal services side, first of all, we have a legal mandate to manage complaints through the Tourism Complaints Center, who is established in terms of the Tourism Act 2014, and then we have managed our program one as well. We have raised the issue of the review of the Tourism Act of 2014, here program one's responsibility really is coordinating law reform and the actual legal drafting, which they work with the state law advisors, but the policy work that goes into that revision is work that is the responsibility of the whole partner and the line function as a policy development unit in that space. We are also responsible, we also be developing, in terms of the requirements of the Act, a procedure, developing a procedure for how tourist complaints will be lodged, and that work will be coordinated in program one. And finally, in how we spend our public resources. It is our duty to ensure that all our procurement supports the transformation imperative for the whole of the economy when we spend on it, not just. And the program one is not just a focus on the tourism sector, but wherever we spend our resources, we do so in support of the transformation imperative. That's the end of my presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm going to take you through the Policy and Knowledge Services section. Program 2 actually deals with a focus on sector transformation.
Can I interrupt you?
Sure.
We have a rule in the House.
Yes.
That when it's the first time you present, you have to stand on the table.
Well, that's the position of dancing on the table. Yes, so research. Do I really have to dance on the table? I feel duly welcomed into the room. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
The Secretary just reminded me that it is helpful for the other members, particularly Honourable Gaylor, welcome to Honourable Gaylor, that he wasn't here earlier, not by his fault, but by the House, when he introduced you. So whenever anyone speaks, please just give us your name and your title again so that we can also ensure that our Secretary got that properly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm Shamila Chetiar. I joined the department on the 1st of April, but I come from the Gauteng province with a long history in the tourism space. and I'm responsible in the department for policy and other services. Okay, so to start again. The work that falls under Policy Knowledge Services actually speaks to sector transformation, resource and knowledge management, skills development for the sector as it relates to a guiding area of work, regulatory environment because we provide the support to the policy and legislative review process and responsible tourism. For the year ahead, we have 8 APP targets. These relate, the first one, of course, to our national tourism sector strategy, and the forum is really for us to be able to keep all of our partners, public and private sector, on track in terms of delivery of the national tourism sector strategy. The second one talks to actually the development of regulations related to national tourism information and monitoring system. That's a key piece of work that we are completing for the industry, for the sector, to keep us on track in terms of how we present, what we present, and what kind of information we collect. The next set of indicators on slide 25 talk to the transformation imperative. And the first imperative is the tourism BBBEE Charter Council has been formed, and the department is responsible for providing secretariat services to that. You may be aware that there is a new amended tourism BBBEE code that has been published, and we will need to conclude a baseline so that we understand from what basis we are moving towards what targets we want to meet. And then the third element related to that is actually our EE portal, which really facilitates matchmaking and monitors compliance with the new amended codes. So we are creating the functionality that will allow us to match people who want to do business with people who actually are running businesses. We're on slide 26, which talks to initiatives supporting growth of the tourist guiding sector. And in that space, we are actually trying to professionalize tourism guiding in the country. We're running 3 skills development programs. 2 of those are with World Heritage Sites, Isimangaliso and the Cradle of Humankind as a start. And then we're also running a program for new entrants into the guiding field, and a program that actually assists the entrants that currently exist within the space with continuous professional development. Slide 27 is talking to tourism attractions supported by the work that we do. And we are in the business of really enhancing the attractions, which means making them better. In that space, there are 3 projects that actually are talking to the construction of physical infrastructure in Kruger National Park. 2 of them are in the Kruger National Park, and 1 of them is the National Heritage Monument Park Interpretation Center in Swane. And then we're working on the draft product development master plan, so that that will inform what we continue to invest in as the... We are on slide 28. Okay. I'm glad to hear that. The next area of work really is looking to the program that incentivizes tourism growth, and that really is we ran a pilot program in the last financial year that looked at market access, tourism grading, and energy efficiency at tourism products. So what we are doing now is using the lessons we learned from the pilot program to find the programs that we're running and then expanding those specific programs. And universal accessibility is a big part of the new trends around what is required in tourism spaces. I think broadly universal accessibility is something that in all physical spaces is a very important thing. So what we're working on this year is the universal accessibility incentive guidelines. So that will inform our work going forward into the MPF around what work we will support. Monitoring and evaluation. This year we're very excited about developing the State of Tourism Report, as well as looking at an evaluation of the completed SRI. This is my first time here. So it's really the State of Tourism Report that we are actually developing this year, which will include the business case for tourism, and articulate what it is we do in the economic space and why tourism is a significant and important sector. We then have a series of work that is related to our visitor information centers and our guiding, and we're developing two mobile apps this year, one that actually addresses sites and the other one that addresses visitor information centers. That is linked, of course, to the two national tourism information gateways that we have, one that is currently up and running at the OR Tambo International Airport, and a second one that we will work in partnership with KwaZulu-Natal at the King Shaka International Airport. And that's my story.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members. My name is Anemi Malan. I'm the DDG for International Tourism, and I will be presenting Program 3. Gigi and Mozamo highlighted the departmental focus for the next year, and aligned to that, we have also aligned the work that the international branch will be doing to support the focus of the department. In addition to the multilateral and bilateral work that we are doing that form part of our operational plans with the aim to advance South Africa's interest in whether it's a multilateral platform or with a specific country, we have listed our PPI starting from slide 32. The first PPI refers to the skills development focus area. And you will notice that all these skills opportunities have a link with the international community. For example, the cross-border guiding model is work that we have been doing with Namibia and the University of Pretoria, where we will be bring together all the intelligence and information that we collected to start with a cross-border guiding model. Specifically for South Africa and Namibia. We will be training tourist guides and frontline staff in two foreign languages, namely Russian and Mandarin. We will place 12 shared learners internationally, specifically in the Seychelles, with the agreement that we have with Seychelles. And then the last two are work that we would do our own research into, and the first one is then the benchmarking of tourism capacity building program for provinces and municipalities. That is where we will look at on an international level at best practices of how this can be done next. And then also compare it with what is currently happening in South Africa and see how we can improve on what we are doing. The last one looks at the tourism incentive programs, market access component, where we would like to add pre and post training to the initiative of providing the market access to make sure that when they go to an international platform they are really trained, and when they come back we do the debriefing after that. So it's just an extension of the market access component of the tourism incentive program. The second PPI speaks to destination development, and that is where we would really like to have an investment master plan developed. Currently, there is not a complete comprehensive investment master plan, and we will do that in this current financial year. PPI number three speaks to the reduction of barriers. And Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, one of the recommendations of the IMC on immigration regulations was implementation of accreditation system for tourism companies. We have already done so for China, and Russia is completed with the visa waiver that was given by the Minister of Home Affairs. So we are rolling out the accreditation of visa facilitation centres. And then the last one is to enhance our regional tourism integration. That speaks to the annual ministerial session that our minister hosts at Indaba every year. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm responsible for domestic tourism, which comprises of SRI, our social responsibility implementation, as well as the two regions, which is the south and the north. I'm still going there. Wherein we ensure that we implement the strategies that we came up with, the cultural and rural strategies, the domestic tourism strategy, as well as our overall NGFX. My name is Moron Wanampili. The first project that we're going to deal with is to review the current domestic tourism growth strategy so that it's aligned to what is currently happening within the country as well as globally. This will be able to ensure that we come up with projects that we're able to ensure that the development as well as growth regarding domestic tourism. The following project is on what you call social tourism. We are seeing most of our people are not able to travel, mainly due to not being able to afford to visit some of the attractions. What we have come up with is to engage with fun parks, engage with some of the government-owned projects within municipalities in order to make sure that they discount the rates, especially during off-peak hours, so that the things that we have identified, which are our young people, school children, and people with disabilities, are able to access these attractions. The following one is on enterprise development. We had a partnership with TEP who assisted us to capacitate the main service or to support 100 rural enterprises. We will be continuing to support those 100 rural enterprises. And the other area, the DG indicated the flagship, we are going to come up with an information portal so that our enterprises are able to get information to help them if they want to start the business, how to go about it, as well as linking them up with other entities that might help them with funding. We are going to come up with two incubators, one in the Bilanster and the other one in Malay. Already we have engaged with communities as well as government within Bilanster, so that we are able to ensure that whatever that we support them on is not only focusing on accommodation, but the value chain, the whole value chain in terms of culture. The other area, we are going to continue to capacitate our local government regarding tourism. We have been focusing on the poverty notes, which is we are continuing to engage other professionals in the country. So it's a program that is really moving, not so informal, but it's quite informative because it also forges relations between the local government and the products within the space. We will continue to do the chef program. We'll be training 577, training trainees that currently in Italian, as well as continue to do the wine application course for 300 young people. We're also going to continue with the hospitality training, what is normally called the tourism bodies, 2,000 youth, and we continue to do the food safety program, focusing on 500 learners. I've already indicated the local government program that we're going to run for each municipality. In the past year, we started with the review of our tourism and human resource development strategy so that we can come up with a proper strategy going forward. Currently, we're busy doing the structure and the skills audit, will be coming up with a report end of May to inform what are the skills that we need to focus on going forward. We continue to do the career expo. They identified areas in last year in Switzerland, so it will be split for three years. This year will be the second year. Our next program is on executive development program for Black women. This is coming out of the BBB Council work, wherein we said, in order for us to really start transforming the sector, let's not find the Black majority being on the lower level. We need to also find the space within the management positions, and at the same time, even coming up with their own businesses. It's a project that we are going to run with UNICEF, and the identified women have been identified by entities so that as soon as their capacitation is completed, they are able to continue to work within their spaces, but on a different level. The other area is on the diversity and enhance the social offering. We have identified Miami and Robben Island from last year. This year we are going to add the Golden Gate Highlands National Park, mainly on ensuring that our services are enhanced over the better. The other area is on the, now it's National Heritage Site. For the past years, we are on the 8 World Heritage Sites. We are left with 1 which cleared a fort. And now we are going to carry on with the National Heritage Sites. What we have identified here is to start first with the sites where Madiba had a food chain on. We have made successes in Western Cape, the Nelson Mandela Cultural Site in Cape, and the Freedom Park in Housing, as well as the statue in the Union Building. We'll be able to facilitate that we ensure that the signage, interpretive signage, to enhance these sites. The other one which is quite new is on marine and coastal tourism as part of the ocean economy. We are going to start first with the Blue Black program. Well, additionally over the MTEF, we'll have 25 added to the current 50 Blue Black issues. And as we speak now, we are engaged in a lab in order to identify within our coastal area what type of projects we are going to come up with to ensure that we really capitalize or realize the potential that is offered by the marine coastal sector. We will also be coming up with an infrastructure master plan so that it guides us in terms of the attraction within the three spheres of government, even private sector. Roles and responsibilities need to be clearly outlined so that we come up with a model which will indicate the way forward, how we go about this government-owned assets which we have, which are not being fully utilized. Lastly, on the full-time equivalent in terms of the EPWP, we will be targeting 3,488 FTEs for this year, and over the MTEF, the number actually is increasing for 2017-18, but for 2018-19 it will go back to the current system. And this is mainly due to the budget cuts that were realized.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Representing the finance division within the department. I will be presenting the 2016 yearly with specific emphasis on the 2016-17 financial year. Included in our tables, we have included the 2015-16 financial year, which is the adjustment estimate for 15-16 for reference, together with the 2016 MTF figures as well. Looking at our 2016-17 financial year, the total allocation given to the department was just over 2 billion. As you can see, included in this for the bulk of the money here is going to policy and knowledge services, which is almost 63%. And of the 63% SAT forms 51% of that total PKS budget. We then have our 22% going to our domestic tourism branch or program. And of this domestic tourism branch, the bulk of the funding is going towards EWP, which forms 17% of that total budget. Looking at the economic classification of the department on the whole, yeah, again, it's over 2 billion given to the department. Bulk of the money going towards transfers and subsidies. 61% of the total is transfers and subsidies. Of that 61%, SAT is the bulk of our transfers and subsidies, which account for about 83% of our transfers. Looking now specifically at each program, administration, 237 million allocated to administration. And the bulk of the money is going towards corporate affairs, which is just about 66%. And then the next highest one will be the ministry and so on, as you can see, according to the percentages for the 1670 financial year. Economic classification, just for administration, we have 55% going towards compensation of employees. And then 43% going towards goods and services, which is the majority of the funding for administration. Policy and knowledge services, just under 1.3 billion going towards TKS for the 16 to 17 years. There again, the bulk of the money, as we stated, is going towards South African tourism. That's 80.5% going towards HES transfer payments. The next highest, the next bulk money going towards the tourism center program, which is 14.8% for TIC. Looking at the economic classification for TKS, again, transfer and subsidies is the biggest funding classification there in TKS, 89% going towards transfers. Of the 89% that's for transfers, 90% of the funds there is all for SAT. Looking at international tourism, we have just under 55 million going towards international tourism. The biggest percentage there would be America and Western Europe, 36%. Included in there is transfer payments towards the UNWTO. And then we also have the funding for the total, which lies under Africa and Middle East, which takes 29% of the total for the sub-program. International tourism and economic classification level, the bulk of the money goes towards compensation of employees, and 11% of that funding going towards transfers, again for UNWTO and the total. Looking at domestic tourism, 445 million going towards the sub-program. Part of the money going towards social responsibility implementation. And this includes, or the majority of these funds is the earmarked funding for EPWP, which accounts for almost 90% of that money for EPWP. Then looking at the economic classification, 445 million for the domestic tourism branch. The EPWP funding is what has the bulk of the funds over here, and that is split between the goods and services, which is our EPWP training, as well as under capital assets, which is the creation of capital assets for using EPWP. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We said an hour. We deleted it for 2 minutes. We'll use the 10 minutes to allow Honorable Taylor to have a smoke break. Can we, Honorable Members, immediately throw it open for questions? And thank you to the DJ and the team for the presentation. I think it is clear. Honorable Launt, we have the other document, which is basically to help interpret this, so we've only looked at this. This is just now understanding. I notice the hand of Honorable Dikhale. Any other member? Honorable let's have the three of you in that sequence. Honorable Dikhale is from Limpopo. Honorable Pablo from Northern Cape. Honorable Lont is from Western Cape. I want to, as I do that, also say that most of the other budgets that have been presented to us already, we always are very subjectively looking at our provincial dynamics. You have done it well. in the budget that you presented to us here. Honourable Keller, what we do is we give an opportunity for members to interrogate their comments on the presentation that has been made so that we don't leave the house with any questions with regards to the presentation that has been made. So let's have the three, let's take two, because we cannot take more, we can take five. Let's take Honorable Dikhale, Honorable Farber, because I have some questions as well, then I can join with Honorable Long. And I don't have many questions, so we can join. Honorable Dikhale, please.
Thank you very much, Representative. May you welcome the presentation done by the presenters. And I'm happy that the majority of them are women. That's why they even managed to take care of time. And I just want to check if you have to print if you're not hungry and you're going to Malap, because I did not hear you talking about these two areas. And I really want to congratulate the department by empowering the youth and the women, but I want to check if when is this program going to start. The Arab Mission deals with the language Mandarin and Russian. I've heard that the 12 learners or people qualified to go and learn the language. And I want to check which criteria are they going to use in order to select those people. But if we talk about 12 and we have in 9 provinces, I was just thinking that maybe 4 will come from the Popo and 1 from other provinces. That would be great, and we will welcome that. And then page 8, the Department plan policy initiatives. I see on the policy and knowledge service there are plenty of policy initiatives. And on international management, and especially on domestic tourism, there's none. I want to clarify on that one. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we as the Democratic Alliance are not sitting as a party today, but obviously the provinces. But we have to also say that myself and my colleague from the Western Cape just spoke without anyone listening, but you know, the Department of Tourism, I suppose, is most probably one of the best on departments, I believe, at this stage. And I would actually have liked to see Minister Honokom here today as well. It is a shame that he doesn't come, as some of the other ministers of the department will have their budgets votes. I'm going to quickly just start off by asking, I see that Minister Honokom asked Mr. Ramaphosa to swim with sharks, but that's a dangerous thing. And he asked Mr. Zuma to do bunny jumping, but it seems Mr. Zuma jumped out of court. So I'll just leave that for them, Gitung and Kisela Hase. Then I see also that there's 1.5 million people employed in the tourism sector. Now, I'd like to understand on this 1.5 million employed, is this specifically people that be like, for instance, at a hotel and all these type of, are you talking about the full complement of tourism itself? Because I suppose that must be the 1.5 million that's mentioned here. As I see that it's supporting 9% of the full employment in South Africa. And then I'd like to know on, according to the rough guide, I saw that the Northern Cape is one of the best places to visit in the world. Now, as you know, as I've just said previously, we represent our provinces here. But I must be quite honest, even though we are one of the biggest provinces and everyone is like looking past us because I think it looks like semi-desert or something. I don't know if it's past it so far, but if it is like that we are really one of the best places to live in the world, and we really do have a lot from the Grabis Falls all the way down, why do we only get such a small piece of the budget, and why doesn't the Northern Cape get more exposure? I know there is exposure, but surely, if this is a world phenomenon that people really talk about the Northern Cape that much, shouldn't the department also invest more money into the Northern Cape to really market the Northern Cape, instead of just the big provinces like the Western Province, KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, so that we can as well be vibrant in our province. Then on program two, I wanted to know, there was on page 32 international placement of 12 learner chefs facilitated. Now, these learner chefs, for instance, what criteria is there? And then also just a few pages on there, also said about how many guys are you going to train? 577 trainees. And I want to understand, when we train 577 people and then 300 youth enrolled in summer year training, what qualifications are these people going to get? Because surely, and I'll tell you why I'm asking this, my son has sometimes wanted to become a chef, he's still in the pick now. But I went around a lot of these chef schools around in the Western Cape to kind of have a look at it. And there are Guys and Girls or whatever it is, and there's Jamie Oliver, you know it, they're all different things. But this is not full qualifications. It's not good qualifications, not full qualifications that you can actually go to like the university. There's only a few universities that actually does like a course or a degree that's really worth the qualification. So I would like to know, when we do this chef, I don't know about the 577, because the 12 I see want to send overseas so that they can go get trained there. Are we going to really empower these kids with a subqual qualification? On the rest of the finances, I would like to just please that apple, that pie that we've got, just cut a little bit of the other provinces and add to the Northern Cape. I really would appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's back to you, DJ, to allocate the responses. Let's have the two and then... Oh, okay. You can raise yours. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, sir. I have to echo what my colleague said, that this is one of the best departments. And of course, Chef Floyd of 4 years, you know that you appreciated me from somewhere. And you were so clever, you sent a beautiful lady to IGF, I had to come. So I'm just going to shoot from the east. But I won't be too dangerous. your youth empowerment, tours, guides, chefs, and all that, how do you plan to select them? What is the criteria for selecting them? If you can just explain us that. Then, tourism, there's not much being done. Now, this is a really beautiful country. It seems that we department is mostly concentrated in Western Cape and Gauteng. But what about rural tourism? I've spoken to the minister about that as well. You know, there are areas like the Wild Coast. There are those beautiful areas like the Hole in the Wall. What are your plans there towards tourism? I know that the roads are bad going there, but are there any plans to develop those areas? Thank you, Chairman.
The Honourable Gail, as you can hear him talking about the roads, is from the Eastern Cape.
Thank you, that's all, Mr. Chairman. I will give to the colleagues to give the first responses. I'll come in some of the questions. And the questions related to measurement of impact, jobs, and so on and so forth. Anna Van would deal with those issues. Fortunately, she was responsible for the development of the tourism satellite house, which was both statistics and obstacles. She will give a comprehensive response on that. And also on issues pertaining to Mandarin and Russian and so on. But I think between her and Osmar, they will deal with issues pertaining to the generic framework that we use in terms of identification, selection, and so on and so forth of different skills opportunities that align, including the issue about to what end the training, to what end. So I'm going to deal with it. The other issues, I think I will deal with some of those issues and then Shamila, you can come in and have some tests.
Thank you, DG. Hey, honorable members, the 1.5 million honorable follower is total employment. So it's direct and indirect. So it's the multiplier effect in general. Direct, if I remember correctly, is just over 600,000. In terms of the criteria, it is different for each training program in the sense that we would like to supply where there's demand. We just don't want to train guys where there's not a need for a guy to speak Russian. So we went through a comprehensive process with the branch PKS, where the tourist guides registrar reside, to understand the need for language training in specific areas. And from that, we will then choose, based on a set of criteria, which we can come and present, the students that we will train. The idea is for them to have not only the training in languages, but also to be played in the country for a month or two, so that they can experience the culture while they are learning the language. The 12 shared learners are selected from the program that is run through the domestic tourism with the Chefs Association. So 12 of those learners will get opportunity to work in the Seychelles, to be placed in the Seychelles through a bilateral agreement that we have with them. I think that was one.
Thank you, Chef. In addition, in terms of the criteria, matrix is what we are looking for the chef's program and the rest of the training programs that we have. And the age as well, they might be young people. And the qualifications are sensitized because they are accredited. We have the professional cookery, which is an N2F 3 and 5, their advanced English manner. We really would like them to be chef. And on our guidance program, the qualification is NQF 2 and 4. On the wine appreciation, as much as we are getting familiar, it's more on wine appreciation, but to be a familiar, we've been told that you need quite several years for that, but now we need them to be placed. We were here a few weeks ago at Stellenbosch speaking to the wine association, because that's where they need to get experience. And from this province, especially the training that we did was only for Gauteng and Western Cape. 100 from here and another 100, and then we added. In terms of the chef as well, we had a partnership with Ubuntu. They took them to international hotels where they paid to get more training. They did that through the job fund, which unfortunately came to an end. On the honorable Khale, Bahonima Lapa and Mafungule, we have done Spanish. It was one of the first World Heritage sites that we assisted in Spanish. Bakonima Lapa, I think it's more the provincial role. We are currently together with the Department of Agriculture going to come up with what we call route development. So if the province thinks this is our priority, we'll go that way. We don't want to come up with projects where the province is not really going that way. They think go honorable on the holding the wall. If the province is not seeing that as one of their priorities, it will be difficult for us to support. But the infrastructure and substandard are there too. That's going to guide us so that together we know how to support each other going forward.
Thank you. Also, the one aspect that we should also just highlight, the apology of the Honorable Minister, is almost like a standing apology in the committee, and I'll tell you why. It's because the Select Committee's program is on Wednesday, and that happens to be the same day the Cabinet sits. So always this always this view of challenge, and I think it's something that at a different level needs to be looked at. Because there's always going to be the challenge where the whole country is going to necessarily be able to hear. The other issues, Honorable Shepherdson, I think most of them are covered. The issue of Rora, happen. I think it's something that we grapple with all the time. Our strategy is somewhat worldwide. But there's sort of multiple definitions of rural when we look at this thing. So there's rural sometimes in the context of former Bantustan, but then there's rural in the context of areas that are in areas that are regional, like closer to your Kruger National Council and so on and so forth. And if you look at the concentration of tourism initiatives that we are actually coming up with, Mark of them are actually in those particular schools. So there is a deliberate bias a little bit towards rural, but it doesn't mean we neglect urban provinces, we also work with them. But most importantly, what I also want to say is that collaboratively, we work with the provinces, we work with the municipalities to be able to identify those specific areas that we can actually want to focus on. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Just one question from the Honourable Ahali Chairman regarding the policy initiatives. The reference issue that this is by definition of what we would like to put in here. The other policy work that we do that is corporate doesn't come in from the ATT, so problem one with doing our normal internal policy work. The policy unit, the problem two, is responsible, as the DDG was saying, for coordinating the policy work. So the policy is developed under this program and not just the program two policies. The review of the NCRS, for instance, has a lot of work that is run and managed under program two. So it's just an area of where is the work of developing policy coordinated. So that is why it's a feature under the program two. Not to say the policy developed here will not have implications for international marketing and domestic tourism.
I assume all the questions have been given attention to. Let's proceed with the second round. We'll have Honorable Launch. I'll see if Honorable Ikhale wants to follow up, and then I'll conclude the questions on this one. Honorable Launch is from the Western Cape.
Thank you, Jim. My concern is the focus is on domestic tourism, but coupled with that, we should get a lot more international tourism. I'm going to use an example from where I come from. We've got a place called Naisna that they have their own tourism entity that really runs it extremely well. That is why Naisna is doing so well in tourism. But that is not run through the municipality. That's run through an outside entity. Then we've got a place like Mossel Bay that is basically run through the municipality. Those do work, but if you look at the surrounding areas, they're not really tapping into the tourism market domestically and internationally the way they should. And if we are going to make sure that domestic tourists go to areas that they don't usually go to, now those are a bad example for domestic tourists because a lot of people just flock to the Southern Cape, but now I'm also referring to the international tourists. A lot of them go to Cape Town, they go to Durban, some of them go to PE, every now and then some of them go along the Overberg and the Garden Route in summers up the West Coast, and that's because those municipalities are not really selling what they've got. And this is what I'm asking, is what is the department doing to assist smaller municipalities like your Kananas, like your even your Frisalbert, your Langsberg, a bigger play like Oseren that's supposed to be much more than just the Kango caves and the ostriches. They've got so much historical buildings, so much story that they haven't tapped into. What is the department doing, not just for those places, but elsewhere in the country to make sure that they have a better strategy to market themselves, and not just do an ongoing holding their hand, but make it a sustainable thing going forward, so that like a Nigel, like a Marshall, after you've taken the hand, show them the ropes, you actually leave them, and then they must sort of self-fund so that you can use your limited resources that you've got to help the other areas as well.
Which one? You. Honourable Carla.
Okay, thank you very much. Just more, I just want to check if ever the signage have been done in Opongwe, are you not going to, or are you not opposed to setting another allocation for the area? Because if the signage have been done, and I think the other money can then go and do an improvement, because Opongwe really is not in order. We'll be there and we'll see it. So I really want to check that one. If it's possible, then I think Mapungubwe will always be on your program up until it is up to standard. And the other issue, I'm worried. How can you just take 200 number and get a hearing that will be Tamba, only on two provinces, whereby you trained 100 and from Welding and another 100 from Western Cape, instead of dividing it maybe according to provinces. I'm worried the Mpoko is not even one of those out of the 200 that resist training. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let me put on my question, Captain, and say that I join the other members in commending the Department of Tourism for the budget, and as has been said by the members of the department, that really functional. That then leads me to ask the first question about, it's linked to the question posed by both Honourable Lond and now also Honourable Dikane. How do you experience intergovernment cooperation? Because you're doing well, we would want to make sure that there's maximum benefit for you, that we can also contribute to intergovernment cooperation. My second would be more than a comment, to say that colleagues from the finance department, the reason why we're not asking questions to you is because of this division that you have made about the sub-program and the economic classification. It really makes it so easy to understand. You've given us the figures, and you've given us the percentages as well. We are appreciative of that. When you come and you report to us, we then obviously interrogate much more rigorously and follow up on some of the questions that we raise. Yeah. So let me follow up on one of them. During your APP presentation to us, no, not your APP, your performance, the Honourable Bauda, who is not here, raised the question about, I can't remember the term that he uses, and in this multicultural society we have to be very careful how we coin it. Muslim tourism. Was it halal tourism? Is that the new word that he used? And when we look at our relationships with countries where people are Muslim and their visits to South Africa, I think it is a market. I don't know, maybe it's just hidden in international tourism that you've not mentioned it. But because it was raised by a member of this committee before, can you just give us an indication whether it's actually part of your strategy for 2016-17 as well? Related thereto is one question with two elements. The one is about regional cooperation. You know, we're part of SACU. And what we find is that because we are not giving attention to our brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe they come and seek work opportunities in South Africa. What are we doing to support countries within the SADC region on also improving their tourism potential, be it by way of connecting flights in any cooperation with any of the SADC countries on tourism development? The B part, which is my final question, is that I was absolutely astounded when we attended a meeting arranged by Durko, where we had all our embassy representatives there. Now, I don't think there was anybody from tourism that reported to the Minister Ibrahim Patel to report it on behalf of the cluster. But I've heard complaints about our embassy in Berlin and the way that some people are being treated in that embassy. Now, I heard it over the radio, so take it for what it's worth. But we also know that Minister Derek Hanekom recently visited China to try and deal with the visa issues there. Now, you mentioned that we have made improvements in terms of dealing with the visa challenges. The question then is, what presently are your engagement with the South African embassies in other parts of the world? Because we have the Department of International Relations also reporting to us. And if you, I mean, it's more clear if you're having any difficulties. Because then when we engage with ERCO, we can then serve to facilitate processes that would ensure that indeed this wonderful work that you're doing is not hampered in any way. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Jefferson. I'm going to give to the colleagues. But suffice to say that I want to start with the question about whether we are experiencing any difficulties. We have a very good system of shepherding of cooperative governance, horizontally and vertically, and good working relationships as well. International tourism colleagues would share with you some of the engagements that they have, some of the fora that they actually serve in. We are a member of the International Relations Cluster. We actually are part of the discussions that take place within that particular environment. At all levels, we actually have direct contact. So if there is an issue that I need to bring to the attention of Ambassador Machila, I do that. So there is that level of cooperation. So we're working well, and one of the things that is more important is that Delco on their side, they have a much greater appreciation of the overall economic diplomacy of the country. And they do see us as a critical component of that, along with the DTI. And of course it has, but also the other department that has got a footprint in that particular space. So that is an area that, of course, we continuously improve. But I would say it is indeed a very good working collaborative relationship. We, similarly, have a great structured working collaboration with the provinces. We have a functional, very functional MEC, which is greatly supported by something we call a MINTEC, but basically it's just the technical support for the MINTEC, but also a very functional MINTEC. And it discusses issues of strategic nature. We then go into real technical issues. As an example, on the Khali, 2 days ago, 8 o'clock or half past 8 in the evening, I received a phone call from Tadim Hoko, who's the EDOD in the province, and was giving me an update about some of the projects that are actually taking place in the province and where the progress in the department is coming. I received similar calls from all the provinces, and we have got very, very good attendance across the provinces in terms of
is taking a level of support. But in terms of some of the details, I think they should get to provide you with that. Colleagues?
Thank you, Shay. In the first round, I forgot to respond to the social tourism issues. When are we starting with this, and especially referring to the youth? We'll be having four groupings, the young people, women, and people with disabilities. And we said if we can align this to our national calendar, that would be very meaningful. If we start moving this around, let it be in June, July, this month, the same would go for the elderly, the same would go for people with disabilities. So the starting will be within this same. On the issue of how do we support municipalities, I've referred to capacity building, which is more related to local government, being aware that they are an important stakeholder when it comes to tourism. And we found that most of the officials within these municipalities tend to put tourism right at the end. So with our engagement, we try to make them realize and see the opportunities that are there. And referring to specifically what you said, Honorable Member, that for us touring in particular, the Minister went there last year as an outreach, and just this past month, all our officials went back because now they want to come up with a plan together with the entities and the municipalities around there to address the issues that were raised last year, so that there is implementation going forward. The capacity building were also done in Georgia last year, so they try to cluster these municipalities so that they can give information regarding that. Another area that we see it will be of for both municipalities and communities is the issue of route development. Currently we are working on the N12, which traverses 5 provinces. And Honorable Father, there was a bit of resistance from Northern Cape, I think Kimberley, and I think the bulk of the route is within that province. But with the province, we are really getting them to come to the table so that we are able to capacitate communities and even the establishments in that route. So once we do the development, yes, then the marketing can be done properly. Can't market when there's nothing really to market or people are not doing things together. On the Somalia, the one appreciation, we had to pilot with 2 provinces where we knew that there will be active families in terms of making sure that our young people are able to get employment after they've been trained, and we focus on Western Cape as well as okay. But on the rest of the programs, they are distributed suitably within the province or the main province. Thank you.
Thank you, Chi. On the question around regional cooperation, on a multilateral platform, we are part of RECLOSA, which is a tourism arm of SADC. So we participate in both the Executive Council meetings as well as the ministerial level. In terms of bilateral meeting, bilateral engagements, we do have MOUs with many of the regional countries, the SADC countries. Just one example of how we empower them is based on the MOUs that we have with countries, we have identified capacity building as a key requirement from many of our African countries, but also in the region. So we have now, I think for 3 years, been hosting a capacity building or a sharing of best practices, we call it, workshop for a week, usually in February, where we link it with Meetings Africa so that our colleagues can also get the opportunity to go to Meetings Africa and experience the practice. The areas of the program differ from year to year based on the needs from the countries. It touches on grading, where the grading council will take them through the process and then they will experience a practical exercise of doing the grading themselves. So that is one example of how we on a skills level, both capacity within the region. In terms of the halal tourism, yes, I think it's for us to create more awareness around it. We are working on it as a department in building relationships with the relevant countries. But just to say that the latest global Muslim travel index that MasterCard does for 2016 has ranked South Africa as the fourth non-Muslim country as a destination of choice. So I think we're there. It's just creating perhaps a bit of more awareness around it and including that in the marketing that we do. But a lot of work has gone into lifting the profile of South Africa as a Muslim friendly destination. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, the issues pertaining to, we are a very integrated sector, so when we do our work, some of it is not directly done by ourselves. It is work that is done by transport, by home affairs and so on and so forth. But I think just to give some level of assurance, South Africa does quite a lot to ensure that the village that we in, SADC, so to say, the strategy, is somewhat integrated from a tourism point of view / people movement point of view. Home affairs across the entire SADC, they have a visa waiver. It just does not apply to Madagascar due to the issues within, and it also does not apply to the DRC. And the real reason for that is because the DRC is still busy putting together their own register of their nationals and so on and so forth. Then with Angola, and it's a reciprocal arrangement based on their own considerations, and they would still like to keep it that way. But that allows for movement of living for Africans that are actually visiting these places within the subcontinent. That's one. If one looks at the routes that our airlines have, whether it's Express, whether it's SAA, whether it's all the airlines that are actually operating in South Africa, representing South Africa, that are actually doing business regionally, that also facilitates that level of movement. The waiver, the waiver of the transit visa requirements by Home also allows for people that are coming to South Africa to easily also go to other countries within the South region. So there is a degree of sharing of thoughts within that particular context. So I thought that is just something that we should share. Indeed, Minister did going to take a visit to China. But these are some of the visits that we will in the future be undertaking, depending on the significance of the market and the extent to which we actually need to do that, reaching out and hearing the market and what are the issues there and how best can we support them, how best can trade be supported and so on and so forth. There are no visa issues in India, in China, because we have already put in place an accredited company system and the accreditation of the Chinese travel companies have already been done. We've done that. So essentially, systems are actually functional and things are actually working well. And the figure of January, if there anything to go by, then it does show that the work that the whole company's first did through the ANC has actually yielded results. One other issue that perhaps is worth noting is that with regards to Russia, Home Affairs has also announced a waiver for Russia. So that is also going to come in, and really there will be a lot more support with regards to that from our side in terms of then following up on the marketing aspect of it. The questions that Honorable Lund raised largely pertain to how will this support to municipalities work? Of course, there are dimensions to this. There's a dimension that, so if you take the example that we used of Magna, that relates to the marketing aspect, but there's also another aspect that relates to development. So the way we work, we have currently support that pertains to direct training. And this training would be what is it that is supposed to be known and understood by officials that work in the municipal space to be able to champion towards implementation issues. That is one element. The second element is direct interaction with those municipalities in terms of what are the issues that they see on the ground level, direct support do they require. We are again guided by what provincial demands are and where do they see these things. In the plan, the current plan that we're presenting before the committee today, you see where we talked about in page 32, where we talked about the benchmarking of tourism capacity building programs for provinces and municipalities. The idea is that I introduced, but the idea there is to be able to say what makes a successful municipality from a tourism point of view. What kind of models can we then take out of those that we're benchmarked with, that we can then bring back and say, if you are to do these kind of things in this particular manner, the likelihood is that you are actually going to be able to succeed beyond where you are at the current point. So that exercise would actually take us to that point. As I said, we would probably be in a position to be able to improve on the support that we would have to provide. Thank you.
I think it's something to do with it, Chair. It's not you, I understand. Yesterday, Honourable Van Lennon was there. She did the same thing.
The budget for signage, if ever maybe the signage is possible, that they do budget for another thing in the very same site.
We started with the 8 World Heritage sites in terms of signage, and Makumbi was one of the first. Now we're moving to the national site, and these sites are being managed by another department, and we believe that they also need to be putting something on the table. But from our side, we aim to deal with the signage. For Makungule, the other thing that can really make it work is when they can have accommodation for the school kids, so that when they go there, they are not rushed through the whole process. These are the engagements that we did with some parts regarding that, but something that we said together we need to look into. If we are to put that kind of a structure, we need to actually going to maintain it going forward. So the budget doesn't retain or remain forever with an entity which we have assisted. You need to be going to other areas.
Just to add, so that because we are presenting for the budget, on page 89 of the presentation, we talk about development of this tourism infrastructure master plan. And our view there, Honorable Chairperson, is that this master plan should assist us to identify areas of need. And once we've identified these areas of need, we'll be doing this obviously in collaboration with the provinces, the owners of the products, as an example. There's a couple of players within Makungubje. There's an environmental aspect to Makungubje. There's a heritage aspect to Makungubje. All those types of issues. Then we also come into that same space that we've got to then look at what would make that place an attraction that tourists would then come to and be adequately catered for. In terms of implementation, some of the things that will come out of that plan would not necessarily be within the department budget, but will then have to make sure that there is a facilitated process for each one to then play their part in that particular aspect. So when we've got that, we'll obviously come here and then we'll share with you what are we saying about this thing, what are the policies saying, the municipalities that are within that particular area. Some of these products they are in places where they are not necessarily in the municipality. So they are on their own. So you've got a whole Grand National Park, it's almost like in its own space. So we'll look at it and then we'll make sure that we come back. Then there also will be what we agreed on in our planning processes. We said there will be a ranking exercise, which will then say, these ones we can intervene now, because if we don't, then we're going to have much more problems. But with models of how then to manage this, what we're trying to avoid is a situation where we think it's a problem, then we'll put money down. But there's no model on how we're going to make sure that these things are staying. Gets maintained, is owned by correct authority to make sure that they will take ownership of making sure that these things work properly as we go on. So once we've got that plan, we'll come back and we'll be able to say this is the plan and then this is the ranking in terms of prioritization. Some things will be done next year, something in 3 years, some in 5 years, something like that. Thank you.
Let's have you the last one.
Thank you, Chair. I was waiting just to also pass here, I thought one of my colleagues who has mentioned it, that on domestic tourism, specifically to the Kruger National Park and for instance Robben Island, we were talking about it for a long time. And I know my new French colleague, former chairperson, Mr. Teve, Honorable Teve, is unfortunately in France, otherwise he would definitely bring it up. But that some of our own people in our country can still not afford to go to these places. Now, I see that you have touched it in the presentation, but what is happening? Are you looking at it seriously? Because we see it, but we don't experience it. Are you doing it? Are you going to radically take down the prices on these specifically where we saw the Kruger National Park and Robben Island, so that people from South Africa can actually afford go and see these heritage sites or national park as well as I think national monument, I think, if I'm wrong. Yeah, on the island. We had Mr. Ramaphosa to go and visit the other day. We had that he can go to the visit and not as a certain wedding.
I just wanted to know, on a serious note, Robben Island, I mean, the affordability of people going there from our own country, I just would like to know, are we taking this seriously, because it's coming for a long time, but we're not seeing anything happening.
As you correctly say, there is something in the budget on that, but let's give the Department of Staff an opportunity to speak on that. I was highly impressed when I saw it, but I think it's a practical question.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Chair, and motivated by our people's rights, that all of us have the right to travel, to rest, and to recreate. What we did was to engage with, starting first with our department, to say we have a problem where our people cannot afford to travel to this establishment. And the agreement that we have now, we have come up with a booklet, which we share once it's done. The some parts indicated which we have the right to engage. And Isimanga is also, and some of the projects that are government owned, one is in Eastern Cape, the other one is in Mpumalanga, to discount but off peak time so that our the groupings that I've identified, they are able to go to the places. But at the same time, we know that some parts have a peak during September month, where it's open to communities around to go.
but the issue of the information going out is something that we also need to be looking into. And this letter that I'm referring to, we want to distribute it because we have partnered with the Department of Social Development, the Department of Education. And we said we'll distribute it to them as well as the stuff that we do have in the country so that they're able to go to these places. Yes, affordability is quite a challenge. Just last weekend, some of my relatives went to Devon. Coming back, they said, at Shaka Marine, at 600, they couldn't go in. Once you go in with the 600, you're still expected to pay for other areas within the establishment.
Two things that comes out of that. The one is that, particularly for the parliamentary liaison officer here, when these things do happen, please make sure that we are informed. So that, is this the parliamentary liaison officer? Yeah, I can't see that. Yes, I was looking for you on this side. Please make sure that we are informed of it, as we have all our email addresses. Please just drop us an email to say that this would be happening in that province. And then the onus is on us. But, honourable members, I also, just in conclusion, then want to say that I note the questions that you're raising with regards to the provinces. And we may have to, as a committee, look at how do we follow up on our oversight. I mean, I would have loved to be able to engage much more practically on the issue of the site in outside of Lucina, Mapungubwe. But I can't, because when we were there, we were told that there would be signage. When we were there, we were also told that on the other side of the road, the structure that would accommodate the students would be set up. And we don't follow. So maybe, can we ask that our content advisor, researcher, take that up with the department to just check with us on what status there, particularly of the signage and the accommodation. We don't want to hear that no, they're working on the accommodation. We want to get time frames, right? That's one thing. But to say, let us use that also as a general standard, that we don't only have to ask questions in the House. At this committee, any department that reports to us, let's raise the questions. Let's ask our content advisors, our researchers to help us by pointing us where we need to go to. I'm sure that Pierre would be very operative. I was going to say she'd bend over backwards. She'd be very cooperative in trying to help us to get the information. Like with the Minister of Economic Development, the Minister of Tourism as well, when one bumps into him and raises these questions, he's got these things on his fingertips and he can give us answers on it. I'm not saying raise it with the Minister. I'm saying that if you raise it with Pierre, she bumps into the Minister, she can always ask him to deal with that. Honourable members, that being said, I feel that it's okay for us to then thank the DG and the staff for the presentation they have made, and we feel equipped to now proceed to the NCOP chamber where we can have further presentation and debate on this budget. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask you not to leave, because there's two things. Just to say thank you very much for inviting us to go to the Minister's event and also to the tourism in Daba in Durban. Petra, your office has confused us a little bit because they gave us two separate invitations. One invitation was for Friday and the other invitation was for Saturday. And they don't tell us that we're welcome to be there Sunday as well. Right. We sorted that out now. We did indicate to all the members that we are welcome to attend as from Friday until Sunday afternoon. So that's the arrangement that Martins has already started working on for us in terms of the logistics operation side. As we leave from Cape Town, we leave from Cape Town, preferably, that's right, because we are going to be busy that Thursday in the SLP. So we'd ask members not to go to Limpopo Thursday evening, just to fly back again to Durban on Friday morning. We will appreciate that. We will appreciate that. Because that's at least I speak here in terms of the conversation that I had with Honorable Faber to say, let us look at the two of us then, because we were going to attend the Friday. And then when we looked at it again, we heard that no, all of us are welcome to attend the Friday. Friday starts at 4 o'clock with a reception by the minister and a dinner. Nothing else for Friday. Friday evening, you can go walk on the beach, or you can go to the Moses Mabhida Stadium, and you can jump from there. I know that on that day, there's going to be a big match in the stadium. So, sorry, we can't buy your tickets. You have to buy your tickets. No, it's cricket. The shark doesn't play cricket. Okay, the other thing that we want to say then, members, is that the Saturday is sort of an exhibition. You've been there before. It's an exhibition type of thing, but the minister is starting it off with a formal event where they'll give us breakfast for us. We'll pay for you to stay at the hotel. So your expenses are covered. We are then looking at the possibility, and the 17 machines is not here now, of flying back to your destination after lunch on Sunday. Now, we have asked members to confirm by last week Friday, and we are glad to tell you that the committee is well represented. We have 5 members. How much do they come in? 5 members that have confirmed. You're like an American. When I asked you earlier, you said 5. Now you say 7. No, I asked my teachers. Okay. That's the one matter. Any questions on that, honorable members? Can we proceed?
We had a report that they report of the minister not being able to attend the meeting. We did not comment on that.
No, we've spoken about that before. Because it started off with the DGI. It's DGI and tourism, also the Department of International Relations, that reports to us on Wednesdays. And we have had a discussion that if the deputy ministers came, they will. Otherwise, it's just a clumsy parliamentary arrangement, which we can't get it. We can't say to the minister, don't go to a cabinet meeting to come here. But it's the department that reports to us. When we want to engage with the minister, we can obviously then look at maybe changing our meeting to either a Tuesday or a Friday. Oh, sorry, a Tuesday or Thursday. But it doesn't affect the quality of the work that we get from the departments, not the quality of our work here. Not that the minister is not effective, but because the department staff are good. Honourable members, just one last matter. The minutes of the meeting of the 6th of April, we had the presentation from the National Credit Regulator. The minutes were distributed to us. It's very brief. It's only 4.5 pages. Only 4 pages. Can we get a proposal that we accept? Honourable Faber proposed. Can we get somebody? Honourable Dikhale. Second. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Now, our next meeting of this select committee would only be on the morning of the 4th of May. We come back from taking Parliament to people that Monday is a holiday that we'll do constituency work. May the 1st is on Sunday, the 2nd is on Monday, the 3rd is on Tuesday.
we're debating already one budget in the NCOP on that day. I hope that all parties are going to be ready for that. But we are not meeting as a select committee on that Thursday, on that Tuesday morning, the 3rd of May. We'll only be meeting again on the 4th of May. Rebecca, just help me, correct me. The 4th of May, we have a very big and important presentation, big in terms of the size of the budget. It's going to be the Department of Trade and Industry on the 4th of May. Then just one final thing to add to that. Oh, South Africa, Tourism South Africa is doing a separate presentation on their budget based on the transfers. The big item that you see is transfers on the budget that was presented to us here. So it's not going to be anything new, it's just going to be detailed on what is in budget here. And that will therefore be done later. You'll see in our program, don't be anxious about it. It's not something that we take into the house for debate. It's just part of our oversight. Thank you very much, honorable members. And again, thank you to all. Thank you.